Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 19th year. Today's podcast is sponsored by Pavilion Payments, trusted by over 400 land-based casinos and iGaming sites. Maximize your revenue with better funding options through Pavilion Payments' complete suite of integrated solutions. Enhance player experiences with VIP Preferred, offering quick access to cash, flexible deferred settlement options, and the highest industry limits. Learn more at PavilionPayments.com. I'm Roger Gross, and today we sit down with Travis Foley, the Chief Government and Regulatory Officer for BMM Test Labs, on why the company continues to break new ground. BMM Test Labs, the oldest company testing gaming technology, has a big year coming up. BMM has been approved to test technology in Brazil, where sports betting was recently legalized. In addition, the company received accreditation to test payment systems for the payment card industry data security standard. And the company also became the first test lab to test the technology for the new sports betting and iGaming industries in Peru. He sat down with me at the BMM offices in Las Vegas in October. Travis, great to see you again. It's been a while since we did this, so it's nice to get together.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming by today, Roger. It's great to have you here.
Sure. Well, you know, people don't know this. A lot of people don't know this, but BMM is the longest running testing company in the industry. Does that give you some insight into where other labs have joined this industry?
Well, look, I mean, I think, you know, BMM, it is our 43rd year coming right up in this November. Mm-hmm. A lot's happened in those last 43 years. One thing that's great about being a lab that's been established along specifically for the gaming industry, starting out of Australia, but sure, around the world now, is the amount of experience. And,
yeah,
and we're very fortunate in that since we've been around 43 years, we have a lot of staff, mm-hmm, that have been with us for a long time.
Sure.
A lot of institutional knowledge. And that experience, that institutional knowledge, which we pass along to our new staff, mm-hmm, as well, really builds up a library,
yep,
of information that's critical. It's kind of the secret sauce when it comes to technology.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of things that you have to learn, mm-hmm, that you can't just read about.
Right.
Right. And it helps. You know, I think that experience really gives us an advantage in a lot of ways, and that we're exposed globally, and we've seen product globally,
mm-hmm,
and we've seen all different kinds of regulatory frameworks globally.
Right.
So it gives us a lot of, sure, insights into, sure, what expectations.
Well, I remember going to one of the early ICE shows in London and meeting Hugh, one of the founders.
Hugh Moneypenny, one of the M's, yes.
Yeah. So yeah, it's nice to be able to reach into that history of BMM for sure.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I met him myself. He actually was gone from BMM by the time I started with BMM,
right,
but back when BMM established their office in Las Vegas,
right,
I was over at the Nevada Gaming Control Board,
sure,
so I had a chance to meet Hugh.
Right. Okay.
And I've actually run into him quite a few times.
Yeah, great,
really,
great,
really great guy.
Yeah, good guy for sure. So does BMM test and certify for any standards established by regulators?
We test for any standard that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that standard is something that's been written by ourselves or it's been adopted by a regulator,
right?
We test to any standard.
Okay.
You know, for us, standards are something that they're very, as a former regulator, they're very important to the regulator, and
sure,
they really reflect what's important to that regulator for their jurisdiction. So we've, throughout our history, is really focused on supporting the regulator and helping them to develop those regulatory frameworks, specifically technical standards, so they own them, and they can be unique somewhat to their market,
sure,
or things that are important to them. But yes, whether that's where we're involved in developing those standards or they're existing standards, we can test any standard.
So are these BMM reports accepted in many other jurisdictions?
Accepted around the world.
Okay.
Around the world, yes.
Great. So during 2024, BMM started a new globalization strategy. Tell us what that means for your company and for the industry.
Sure. You know, BMM's been a global company for quite a long time.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, in our early history, we were in Australia, and I won't go through the whole history. But, you know, we've been growing significantly year over year. Every year has been a record year for us.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've grown, you know, we need to grow with it.
Sure.
And one of the things, especially with this industry being so global now, so many new jurisdictions coming online, we need to operate seamlessly around,
right,
the world. So, you know, the structure was extremely important to us. It reflects our success, but it's very important to ensure that we're set up and organized for the growth that's continuing to happen.
Right, right.
And what we're trying to be successful at with this structure is that it's seamless, And somewhat more important as well, as you grow, you know, it always tends to be that you have wear a lot of hats company grows.
Right.
So biggest factor to this, I think, that makes BMM much stronger than it was before, mm-hmm. is we've hired some great people.
Right.
And we've kind of distributed out how the company is structured to make it even easier for us to function globally.
Okay, great. So I know you're involved in Brazil, and Brazil's obviously a burgeoning industry right now, but they've legalized sports betting now for a while. So what was your first entry there, and how do you operate in the sports betting area in Brazil?
Well, first I was very happy that they moved forward, at least with the online for digital, right. for both sports wagering and online casino. You know, people have been talking about Brazil for a long,
decades.
Long time, and there's a lot of doubters out there.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, we were prepared for it, and we've been spending a lot of time in Brazil. Marcia Torini, who is our president of digital for BMM, I think she just spent a month down there, mm-hmm. shows, meeting with regulators. So we were there very early. We were one of the first labs to get mm-hmm. accredited, you know, in each jurisdiction that has a process in place for that. So we're already very active in that market. Really interesting to see what's going to happen on the land-based side.
Yeah.
But so far, it's been great. We've been certifying product.
Right.
For that market, and it's been going pretty well.
So each of the Brazilian states, do they have a separate regulatory agency, or is it just one federal regulatory process?
There's a federal regulator, mm-hmm. and there are some state regulators as well.
Okay.
You know, I think that that always creates a very interesting dynamic.
Sure.
But we're across all of them,
right?
They're all important, and each have their own desires, expectations, so mm-hmm. it's very important that we're there working with them and assisting them with setting up their
programs. Sure. No question about that. So you've got some other expansions, and I think I heard that the office in Barcelona is kind of leading these expansions right now, this globalization process.
Well, Barcelona, when it comes to digital, absolutely. So with our new restructuring, mm-hmm. Our Barcelona office is really our center of excellence for digital. So anything online.
Okay.
So online casino, sports wagering, whatever mm-hmm. you have. That doesn't mean that other offices don't do it, but that's our center of excellence. So as that has expanded, like Brazil, Spain's been heavily involved in that market, which makes a lot of sense because we have Spanish and for Brazil, Portuguese speakers out of that office and our team in Brazil as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they're leading that, but we've expanded, you know, around the world. We have a new office in India,
which
is relatively new, a new office in Slovenia. We have a Brazil office. So. You know, roadmap for additional offices, you know, I think we'll probably see some more here.
They have a Canadian office as well, too, right?
We do. Yep. We do. We have an office in Moncton, mm-hmm. Canada, and that's part of our North American group.
Okay. So let's talk about AI. It's a big issue. I certainly don't understand it, but it's obviously getting into all facets of our life. What does it mean for gaming, and what does it mean for BMM? How to really regulate that?
Well, sure. It's a hot topic, of course, and I'm sure there has been and there will continue to be a lot of conversations. A lot of conversations about AI really are, is it good or it's bad?
Right.
It's both.
Right.
It can be great. It can also be used in a very negative way.
Right.
We're already seeing it being used. We're seeing it being used in game development.
Right.
We're seeing it used for responsible gaming. There's a lot of areas where it can be used for great benefit. We're using it ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great way to, you know, if you layer that AI and machine learning on top of automation, mm-hmm. It can become very powerful, mm-hmm. right? And that's one thing about we always strive to do at BMM is to innovate.
Right.
Right. And how can we do what we do better, faster, or cheaper?
Yeah.
Quite frankly. And AI, and we've got some very interesting implementations and projects ongoing mm-hmm. to implement AI. But I think for the industry, from a regulatory perspective, you know, the biggest thing with AI is, like you said, you don't know much about it.
Right.
Most people don't.
Right.
Like a lot of us see what Elon Musk says about AI and so forth. So what we're doing is taking what we know and what we're learning and what we're seeing, both on the technology side, on the operations side, and sharing that information mm-hmm. with regulators to try and help educate them.
Sure.
You know, it's really important for regulators to understand it, because when there's a lack of understanding, there's usually a fear of it. So we try and provide that information and the insights.
Okay. But as you mentioned, there is a negative side to it as well. I went to a conference earlier this year, and Jay Snowden, the CEO of Penn Entertainment, was up on stage, and he said he had asked his tech people to give him an example of a negative side of AI, and they actually made a voicemail to one of the his big executives, having Jay Snowden say, "You're fired," you know, and but he had a long, you know, they actually duplicated his voice and his mannerisms, and it was pretty crazy.
That particular example right there is a pretty hot one right now,
right,
with examples of you know, the finance team in a company getting a call from the CEO saying transfer money here.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But
right.
It's AI.
Sure. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
There's things like that, and that you know, it's a constant battle.
Yeah.
To try and stay on top of it, mm-hmm. And it's something you have to. It's not like you can learn it once.
Right.
It's constantly evolving.
Sure.
So there's a lot of things that can be used for bad, but there's ways to regulate that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you, when you do testing, you can probably see that something has been altered by AI. Is that what happens, or?
Well, I think when it comes to the use of AI, what we're seeing so far with mm-hmm. the use of AI, when it comes to, say, for example, game development,
right,
it's less about the game logic itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's more things like, you know, it's much quicker to create artwork,
right,
sounds, and things of that nature using AI.
Mm-hmm.
Could you even have AI in a machine that, you know, instead of it being theme specific, someone could walk up and say, "I would like to play this machine, but I want to have butterflies and rainbows,"
right,
and it could automatically generate mm-hmm. those graphics, and now
okay.
they're playing that game. So, but to your question, when those implementations are in games, we're very diligent about making sure that what it's limited to be able to do.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Great.
It's not going to sit there and be able to do whatever mm-hmm. it wants. There's controls around that to ensure that what it can do is limited.
Right. Right. Okay. Great. So there's some other issues in the industry that, again, I don't understand when it comes to blockchain and virtual currency and mm-hmm. things of that nature. Now, these are banned so far in most of the regulated jurisdictions, but there's arguments that they should be permitted. I mean, how do you test for those kind of things?
You know, when it comes to something like Bitcoin and currency, mm-hmm. I don't know that really changes too much
mm-hmm.
How we test for those things. There's definitely needs to be a regulatory framework around
right.
those things. And there's organizations, I'm part of the committees with the Gaming Standards Association,
sure, right.
where we're working together with industry experts. I know enough,
yeah.
but I wouldn't call myself an expert necessarily.
Sure.
But we have industry experts that are involved in really trying to create guidelines for regulators on to understand it better, and also
right.
what they can do to
right.
protect their interests.
Yeah, no question. So, like every industry around the world, the gaming industry is very vulnerable to cyber attacks. And I know you've taken the lead in trying to help companies prevent those kind of things. Explain how you try to keep their data safe.
You know, it's no different than what we were just talking about with the advancements with AI and what they can do. You know, that it's a constant battle as well.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of things you can do to protect yourself. You can put locks on the doors.
Right, sure.
But then what happens when someone gets in,
right?
Right. So, you know, we at BMM specifically focus primarily on the cybersecurity of the products that we serve by. And we do that through our testing process. And regulators, almost all frameworks that I'm aware of, require ongoing monitoring of those systems.
Right.
So we are actively out there performing vulnerability assessment, pen testing on those
mm-hmm.
systems, identifying weaknesses.
Right.
And while we're not remediating those ourselves, there are other companies that do that. Like, for example, we have Big Cyber, which is one of our sister companies.
Right.
And they are a company that focuses kind of on what BMM doesn't focus on.
Mm-hmm.
They focus on the security of a corporate network, for
okay.
example, doing
mm-hmm.
a lot of those same things. But again, it's training. And it's actually going out there and doing assessments
yeah.
to see whether you can't just put a lock on the door and assume you're safe.
Right. Again, I went to another conference last year where the speaker, and if I said his name, you know exactly who he is, but he said, if you have any systems that are reaching outside of your environment, like the progressive slots and things of that nature, he said, you're vulnerable, you know. And you know, there's not a lot you can do, but obviously there's things that companies like Big Cyber can do.
Yeah, there is to identify those vulnerabilities. You know, we've all heard the stories about getting in through, you know, a wireless thermometer
right.
on a fish tank
right.
type
yeah.
thing. So, yeah, any external access point does create a vulnerability to a certain extent. But there are a lot of things you can do to protect that. You know, the social engineering side of this, the cyber and getting in through social, that's that's a real problem.
Sure.
And constant training is required for your staff. We do constant training, we do constant training with our staff to try and help protect them, because that is probably the weakest vulnerability.
Yeah.
Is people.
Sure.
Humans.
Right. Yeah. No question. So we're talking about sports betting in Brazil, but in this country, it's spread like wildfire. It was legalized in over 40 states and jurisdictions now, and the technologies are also pretty dense. But BMM does testing in those areas. Yeah, how do you make sure those systems are working for the player, the company, and the regulators?
Yeah, and sports wagering systems are quite a bit different than a slot machine, for example. We go through the same process, right? There are requirements for those systems. We assess them from a security perspective, from a functionality perspective. It's much more in line testing something like sports wagering with an accounting system, with your casino management system.
Right.
It's very similar to that. Making sure that everything's recorded properly, it's secure, the reporting works, and so forth. And then also when you get into the mobile wagering, the geolocation out there.
Yeah.
I don't know how we've done, it feels like thousands of geolocation tests at this point.
Right.
But we go out there and we perform those tests.
Yep. Great. So regulators are an important part of the business, obviously, and those are a lot of the organizations that you work with. But the technology is getting so complex, and the regulators are always turning over. There's terms ended. The governor appoints somebody else, and most of them, frankly, know nothing about gaming when they're appointed.
Sure.
There. A lot of them are political appointments and things of that nature. So how do you help the regulators understand the technology? When they don't really have any idea when they start off.
Yeah, and I think when there is turnover and there are political appointees at board and commission levels.
Mm-hmm.
But, in all of the jurisdictions we deal with, they have a professional staff.
Right, okay.
And those staff are the ones that are really doing a lot of the hard yards when it comes to new technology.
Sure.
So we work very closely with them. As a former regulator myself, one of the things I learned is that, when I'm in Nevada,
right.
I'm very focused on Nevada. That was my job.
Sure.
But I didn't have as much exposure as I would have liked in other jurisdictions. So the best thing that we can do to help regulators is to work with them and share our experience, what's worked, what hasn't, with other regulators, things that regulators have done for new technologies, and explain those new technologies.
Sure.
So they do absolutely need to set their own path, but providing them with information to the staff therefore then can educate those political appointees and so forth.
It's still important for you to keep good relationships with the regulators, obviously, and their staff, I guess, can influence that. But how do you keep those relationships on a positive note?
I think that making sure that we listen, right? I think we meet with regulators on a very set cadence,
right?
And there's a lot of commonality, but there's a lot of uniqueness as well. So when we are working with them, we're wanting to understand what challenges they're having, what issues they're facing, and how can we help them. So it's through regular communication with them. I look at we have G2E coming up, and my schedule for G2E is packed with regulator meetings. So it's listening and providing them whatever help we can.
Okay. Do you bring regulators in sometimes to teach them, what's going on?
We do. I think before COVID, we did a lot of in-person, both here in the facility that we're in right now, as well as going out on site during COVID, a lot of webinars that we would do. And now I think it's a combination of both.
Right.
We've done a lot of training this year, actually, going out on site.
Right.
And a lot of it's about training on essential one-on-one stuff, slot machines,
sure.
but also sports wagering, cybersecurity, all of those topics go out and actually train those on site.
So one last question, where would you like to see BMM in 5 years?
I would like to see BMM to continue to grow and be as successful as it has been over the last almost 43 years.
Right.
We're going to continue to do that, and we're going to continue. One of the reasons that I came to BMM from Nevada was that I obviously love being around the testing and the technology, but I felt that things needed to evolve, and we needed to be innovative. And BMM has always been really willing to do that.
Sure.
So I'd like to see BMM continue to evolve, continue to change the way things are done, because while our job is to ensure compliance of products, How do we break down those barriers to get products to market faster, get them accepted quicker, mm-hmm. and allow the suppliers and the operators to be successful,
right.
while at the same time protecting those that play?
Okay, great. Well, I said one more question, but I have one more.
Sure.
The culture of BMM is pretty unique. You know, Martin Storm, the CEO, is really a visionary, I think, in this business. And how did you help join with him to build the culture of BMM?
Well, I think that, Martin does set the tone for the culture of BMM.
Right.
Right. And I think when I was considering coming to BMM, I met Martin mm-hmm. early on, and he's a unique individual.
Yeah.
And like I said about that, wanting to kind of challenge the status quo and see how we, while maintaining compliance, quality, how do we do it better, cheaper,
right.
faster?
Yeah.
You know, that mentality is really from Martin, mm-hmm. and you know, everybody here takes part in that.
Right.
And you know, it's created a great culture.
Yeah, great, great. Well, good luck with G2E this year. I know, as you said, mentioned, you have a full schedule, and we all do. It's an exciting time for the industry, and hopefully, you know, we'll get to talk again after this is over, and see where we're going down the road.
Great. Thank you very much for stopping by.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast, sponsored by Pavilion Payments, the industry's leading cashless payment provider. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the weekly news of the gaming industry, subscribe to ggbnews.com. Use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB podcast.